Oh, it certainly is the big lead, but in a sad twist of fate, I'm Dory Monson's friend, Todd Herman. And Dory continues to recover from knee replacement surgery. And did anyone else get the Fog Hat double album? Remember that? Back when you could spend hours looking at the record sleeves. There was a picture on that album where the guitar player looked like he had a flat nose. Like it was literally straight. Yeah, it's some Fog Hat. Took me years to figure out that that was actually an optical illusion. There was like a poster under his nose. Oh, wait a minute. I went to the concert wanting to see the guy with the perfectly flat nose. I still got the great concert. All right. I don't know if we can really do this. Nicole, can we go? Can we do this thing? Can we hit?
We're ready.
The big... Well, then let's do it. Let's hit the big lead.
The big lead. Dory Monson show exclusive.
So CSC is a framework of how to approach sex ed in schools. And it has a pleasure-based core, or at least pleasure-based portion of this. And as it's being applied in some schools, to be fair, it's not yet employed in a lot of schools. It teaches various sexual techniques is physically pleasurable. Now, I want to be super fair. Washington State didn't invent CSE, but they're wanting to mandate this sex ed framework in our state. And so here's what Planned Parenthood, who calls one of these sex ed bills, they call it their bill, says about CSE. They say, ensuring that all young people understand they are entitled to sexual pleasure and how to experience different forms of sexual pleasure is important to their health and well-being. 635 people went to Olympia yesterday to oppose CSE education that Chris Rakedahl, superintendent of public education, requested and lobbied to make happen. And he joins us now live. Chris, I'm so thankful that you are one of the people who will come on in areas of disagreement. And I just want to honor that. I want to thank you very, very much for doing that, Chris. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yes, I do appreciate it. I know that you want to discuss, I think you wanted to discuss, a social media post I put up that I think your staff felt was deceptive.
Well, yes, but I really want to make sure we cover the topic. You're the host, and I think there's a lot of facts that we definitely want to present, make sure your listeners get both sides of this whole education issue.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. So we can get to the social media post and talk about that. Let's start here. Planned Parenthood has stated, and one of your employees at a Planned Parenthood event, a woman who works in your office, agrees with the idea, and this was Lori Dills, who works with you in a senior capacity, that sex ed curricula in the school should be teaching that sex and masturbation and activities like that are pleasurable and that all kids, all of us are sexual beings from K through 12. Is that an appropriate framework for the schools?
That's not what the legislation proposed does, and that's not anything that we've stated, nor has Lori stated. Comprehensive sexual health education, like math, is building blocks. Math is numeracy in kindergarten. It's very advanced calculus by your senior year. This is no different. We've been teaching reproduction in late elementary, middle school for a long time. This is going to definitely add value at the high school level around sexual assault, which is obviously a very explosive issue that's gotten worse. But the building blocks early on for kids are things like, do you have a safe adult you can talk to? Do you understand that your body is yours and yours alone? And it's and so this is a really important education thing. And even though it's hard for some people to contemplate and they go to this awful place and this presumption of what we'll teach to young kids, it is age appropriate. It is absolutely locally determined. There's nothing the state mandates about this in terms of curriculum or content. And most of what has been passed around absolutely is not in any of the materials that school districts will use. And finally, it's parent opt-out right. They have the right to opt out of any or all of this as school districts adopt it. So it's really important that listeners understand the framework here, why it can be helpful in reducing sexual assaults and sexually transmitted diseases, and how it's age appropriate.
Yeah, and there's a lot there to unpack. Chris Rakedahl's with us, superintendent of public education. So there are the bills, and the bills are simply an ability to empower a statewide curriculum based upon CSE. CSE is a framework. It's an easy-to-research framework. And in fact, I would just want you to hear what, in fact, your employee said, what, in fact, Lori Dills said. She's the sexual health education program supervisor. I want you to hear what she said about a pleasure-based curricula in the public schools.
Ideally, the focus is healthy relationships, healthy bodies, and pleasure.
I think as a society, we have a hard time talking about pleasure, certainly in our public school system. I don't think it needs to be the focus, but I think it should not be ignored. I think it's part of a comprehensive approach. It's just talking about all aspects of our sexuality. So that's what I'd like to see.
So that was at a Planned Parenthood event, Chris, where your employee is talking about pleasure in this curricula. We had recently on two young women, eighth graders, who have been in class when a male teacher taught their infamous page 34 from their CST curricula, where they were taught in class with boys how boys can make girls aroused. And it was very uncomfortable for the girls, but the teacher explained, hey, when a boy gets a girl aroused, it's easier for her to have sex. That happened in a classroom here. Is that age appropriate for eighth graders?
Well, I'm not in that district, and they're making that decision locally. I think that's, like anything, a function of whether or not the teacher's properly trained and whether they've distributed appropriate materials and followed our framework, which needs to be age appropriate. So I'm not in that environment, so I don't know the context for it. I will tell you that reproduction has certainly been a part of the curriculum for a lot of decades, again, locally chosen by school districts. And to clarify from an earlier point you made, there is no statewide curriculum. None of this stuff is adopted at the state level. It is not created by OSPI. We have publishers that submit information. We affirm or not whether that aligns to our learning standards, and then school districts make these choices. They have to make sure they have trained personnel to do it. I have no doubt that we have English teachers, math teachers, PE teachers who make mistakes at times, and there will be folks who will make mistakes with this. But the framework really is about learning, is about protective factors. It's about understanding reproduction. It's an understanding the role of sexual health education, primarily to protect individuals from assault. And there will be a time where kids ask questions about it, and that's why a lot of what we've seen pushed around social media is never given to students. It's not appropriate for them. It's in teacher guides in case they get questions or in case parents want additional materials.
Chris Reichdahl's with the Superintendent of Public Education, up for re-election this year. I think you're running unopposed at this point. Chris, the CSA framework is easily accessible to go see examples of how this is used in other states. You, as the chief education officer in the state, are you saying that you're neutral on the curricula? Then if that's the case, why do we need a statewide mandate? If you're neutral on the curricula, you literally are neutral if a district, for instance, wanted to teach, as some of the CSE is taught in other schools, and this is easily verifiable, for instance, that sixth graders should view mutual masturbation as safe. And again, you can go look at this stuff. I can post it. It's easily accessible. Your office, if that was being taught in a district in this state, your office would sit neutral on that?
What we would do is make sure that any materials that are utilized or tapped into by a school district meet our learning objectives, they meet our standards, and they meet our health code. And then we would say to those districts, you have a local community you have to represent, and you have to adopt those publicly. You need to make parents aware of it. They need the right to opt out and review the curriculum. And I would guess those districts would say that is not age appropriate, that material. And we don't get into whether it's good or bad. We get into whether it is age appropriate and whether it meets our standards. And then, again, we remind districts they don't have to use anything that has been reviewed by our organization. They can build their own. Again, I can't reiterate enough for you how locally control-based this is. And the bill that is being proposed does not mandate anything in detail. It says you have to have something. You cannot ignore the subject, just as we would not want a district to say we're not going to teach science because there are some people in our community uncomfortable with science. Or not going to teach PE because we have some people in our community who opt their kids out who are uncomfortable. Our message is families get to control that decision, but school boards need to provide learning for kids across all of these content areas, including sexual health education that's age appropriate and based in science.
Yeah, and Chris, that's interesting because the legislation calls for CSE, which is a specific framework. And you spoke of science. You gave a speech one day, a very impassioned speech, I think about a year ago, where you compared people who believe in the observable, testable, falsifiable, repeatable method of looking at our chromosomes, DNA, and resulting sexual organs as a determiner of our sex. I believe you compared them to flat earthers. So while we're talking about things being medically accurate and scientifically accurate, we now have gender constructs being taught in the public schools as a mandate, as I understand it. So people are asking questions, and I might ask you a common question people give now in the classrooms is, can a boy become pregnant?
I'm trying to figure out if you want a rhetorical answer, if you want an answer.
I was looking at the speech you gave, Chris. I watched all 2.5 minutes of it, where you opened by talking about flat earthers. You talked about people being comfortable with the new. You said that you then at the end of that statement compared people who look at biology, DNA, chromosomes, and the resultant sex organs and the differences between male and female as sort of old fashioned. So I'm asking you, as a superintendent of public schools, if boys can become pregnant.
I am not aware of boys becoming pregnant. But again, I would remind you through all the conversation here that what we have consistently said is there is a very diverse state here with very impassioned people. Some folks are deeply, deeply offended by this in our schools, and I respect that tremendously. And we have allowed them to opt out of this work as they do PE, sometimes science and other subjects. I didn't compare people directly to flat earth. What I've said is we have a very diverse state, and there are literally people in this state who still believe in the concept of flat earth, and they deserve the right to believe that. But my job in schools isn't to avoid complicated subjects because there are differences of opinions. Ours is to make sure that we base it in pedagogy, teaching and learning based on science, that we have a responsibility to offer it, and then we empower parents to make a decision on whether they want to be a part of that or not, or their kids to be a part of that.
Chris Reichdahl's with us. This is a man who, in uncomfortable topics and topics that are tough to talk about, talks about them. And deserves, Chris, I can't tell you how important I think it is for public officials to do this. And I would love sometime to go find an area on which we agree, because Chris, I bet there's a bunch of it. I would point this out, that your employee, Lori Dillis, sexual health and education program supervisor at the same Planned Parenthood event, speaking of opt out, Chris, said that she wants to see the pleasure principle of sexuality interwoven in other disciplines. And she gives an example of Romeo and Juliet, great chance to teach some aspects of this. So I would just say this, Chris, how does one opt out of a school where this curricula is woven throughout all the classes? How do you opt out of a culture?
Well, I don't know that our complicated culture obviously allows for that. And with respect to our employee, on her own time, she's absolutely empowered to engage in nonprofit work or anything else on her own. And I really respect her individual opinion. She's a fantastic leader in our space here. We've been very clear to you what the bill proposes. It is a requirement of districts to have something that builds on the building blocks of individual kids controlling their body and making those decisions, reproduction, and ultimately protective factors around disease and sexual assault. And we're looking forward to the bill passing. We're looking forward to districts having the conversation locally and obviously reminding families that they get the choice to opt out of any of these individual content areas, as they always have and as they do in subjects well beyond sexual health education.
Let's find an area of agreement together, Chris. Let's really try to do this, because here's where I think we might be able to agree. The framework that you proposed in the bills that you requested from the Senate and the House calls for the CSE framework, as I understand it, and I read the bills. And then I'm studying the CSE curriculum as it's been employed elsewhere. We might not find agreement on this, but it talks about affirmative consent, Chris. So what if you just say, what if you respect the affirmative consent of parents and simply sponsor or ask for an amendment to the bills that flips this around, and that it's opt-in, and that it is in that class and not taught in other classes? Because there's I've talked to kids who feel ostracized for sitting out of these classes. They'll be made fun of. There's things parents have to go through hoops to do this sometimes. What about taking the affirmative consent theory, Chris, and saying we're going to affirmatively have parents affirmatively consent that they want this? Just make it opt-in. Can we agree on that?
I think it's a really interesting angle. I think it's a really smart contemplation, and I hope legislators are thinking about that. I hope they're reviewing that as a concept. I'm trying to internalize that right now in terms of science in particular, where we get definitely some complaints on whether or not we would have to ask, you know, sort of permission from parents to teach and have them opt in. And it doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense, but I understand the sensitivity of this subject, so I know why you're raising the issue. And I'll definitely give it serious thought, because what we want is a learning framework that makes sense, that reduces disease and sexual assaults. We think this is the right way to do this. Again, empowering parents and districts. And we understand that all of these things are on a spectrum, and no one questions teaching, you know, social studies necessarily, although we do have some. And this is one on the other edge of that spectrum where it's uncomfortable. People put it in the realm of faith. They put it in the realm of personal choice and family belief, and not in a learning mindset. And I really, really respect that. We've tried to draft legislation here with legislators in the House and Senate that give the parents that right and really honor that and still have a universal opportunity to access this for the families who make that choice. But your point is very well taken. It's something I suspect you have shared with folks, and we might see that as an amendment on the floor of the House should the bill get there.
Yeah, well, Chris, I would just point out that I come at this from a perspective of science. The increase in ocular syphilis we've seen through anal sex activity, the increase in risk behaviors that are concurrent with kids who engage in early sexuality, as the CDC has shown. So it'd be a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you joining us, Chris Reichdahl, Superintendent of Public Education. I'm committed to finding a way to get together with you and find things on which we agree. There's got to be something, Chris, because I really can't tell you how much admiration I have for you for agreeing to come on to this. Thank you so much for joining us on the Dory Monson Show.
I appreciate it. I would guess career and technical education, lowering the cost of higher education, getting more kids access to training in the military.
You got it.
We agree on a lot of things.
You got it. You bring apprenticeship to that, Chris Reichdahl, and I'll help you on that. I love it. Thank you for coming on, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, so your text message is all over the board and on the 98973 line. Both are not buying it. And whether you're a man or woman is not based on an opinion. What the blank is wrong with people? So they're teaching flat earth too, so as not to hurt someone else's feelings. Blanking stupid. Why is this responsibility of schools? Lots of these on the 425. I feel like the host totally misses the point. Dude is making from Planned Parenthood. It's annoying. That attack mode is not necessary. He clearly states that parents have the that parents ultimately have the choice. They're not at school, but a tool used by school for kids. I was in Kent School District, and there were pregnant girls in eighth grade. So scared of sex. Sheesh. No, I'm actually not at all in attack mode. Wasn't at all. We had a conversation, and I get very, very perfectly. He's not from Planned Parenthood. Well, specifically, he's the superintendent of public education. You didn't hear the interview, apparently, because what I said was very clear. Why don't parents get to opt in versus opt out? I also made the point and asked him very, very directly about some of the instances of CSE being used to teach things like mutual masturbation is a good idea. Like if you're not ready for sexual intercourse and you're in fifth grade, maybe get into a bathtub and hug your buddy, your girlfriend naked. That's a good way to create intimacy. Let's see. It's on the parents, not on the schools, except a lot of parents can't afford private school. And even those who opt their kids out, it's still part of the culture here. It's scary to have someone like Chris Reichdahl to be the superintendent of public instruction. I voted for Reichdahl. I convinced my parents to vote for Reichdahl. If I knew he was going to do radical things like this, I'd never vote for him. He has lost my vote. Let Reichdahl know that I voted for him. I convinced my parents. Another one. Same thing. Oh, let's see. It's not appropriate to teach any grade about sexual pleasure. Yeah, I would agree with that. Lots more to get to on the Dory Monson Show. A few more thoughts on this as we continue. And keep in mind, there's a lot of public officials, they won't do appearances like that. So please give Reichdahl some credit for coming on Kyle Radio and the Dory Monson Show. Todd Herman filling in.